Tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5
The Tap. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFWHD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP
Oakland. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. Cruise.
The Israeli Air Force has been bombing buildings in Gaza after a deadly surprise attack on Israel today by the Iranian-backed Palestinian Islamist group Hamas. At least 150 Israelis have died and 1,100 have been injured. Reports say the militants have kidnapped Israelis and brought them to Gaza. At the White House, President Biden made it clear the U.S. stands with Israel.
I spoke with Prime Minister Netanyahu this morning. I told him the United States stands with the people of Israel. In the face of these terrorist assaults, Israel has the right to defend itself and its people. Full stop.
Sarah Davies of the International Committee of the Red Cross says Israel is paralyzed.
In both Israel and Gaza, fear and anxiety are quite overwhelmingly present. No one knows what's going to happen next. People are looking for the nearest shelter. They're desperately trying to contact family members. Schools have been shut. Roads have been closed in some places, which impacts ambulances.
Israeli officials said today they're prepared to call up hundreds of thousands of reservists. In the week ahead, House Republicans will try to recover from the unprecedented removal of their leader. CBS's Christina Ruffini says two men are in the running for the job.
It's a campaign within the halls of Congress.
We're going to lay out a plan. We're going to be very aggressive. That's why I'm running for Speaker.
As the two frontrunners try to win over enough Republican House colleagues to get the top job, Ohio's Jim Jordan and Louisiana's Steve Scalise announced their candidacy this week after conservatives in the party triggered a vote that ousted Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
There's good news to report in the fight against COVID-19, says CBS's Michael George.
A new study published in JAMA found that Paxlovid, the antiviral treatment, is effective in reducing hospitalization and death in extremely vulnerable individuals. Severely immunocompromised people saw the greatest benefit from the treatment.
Why have runners from around the world descended on Chicago? CBS's Jennifer Kuiper knows.
Sunday is the 2023 Bank of America Chicago Marathon. The race is limited to 45,000 runners, and only runners who finish within 6.5 hours are officially timed. Five men's and women's marathon world records have been broken at this race, one of the six world marathon majors with Boston, Tokyo, New York, Berlin, and London. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News, Chicago.
After 33 consecutive drawings without a winner, the Powerball jackpot has risen to $1.4 billion for tonight's drawing. That's the world's fifth largest lottery prize. If there's a single winner tonight and that person chooses the cash option, they'd get about $614 million. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The IRS is...
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or CivicMedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A bill in the Wisconsin legislature would make financial literacy classes mandatory in order to graduate from high school. An expert on student loans agrees that's a good idea. Roz Brown reports.
Billy Hensley with the National Endowment for Financial Education says many students are not financially savvy and don't understand scholarships versus grants or federal versus private loans and can create an uphill struggle for themselves.
What we know and what's very clear in the data is that you will have a lower total debt, meaning lower revolving debt like credit cards, lower student loan debt, and you will graduate with a higher credit score compared to those who don't.
Federal student loan payments resumed this month after a pandemic-related three-year pause. The Biden administration's new repayment and forgiveness programs could result in no monthly payments for some. About half of student borrowers continued to make payments during the pandemic, according to Hensley, while 30% were not able to do so. A survey by his group found 83% of borrowers expect to make significant household financial changes, with 23% reporting they'll need to cut their budgets up to $1,000 a month to meet loan payments.
We're estimating that about 1 in 4 U.S. adults may have to cut their discretionary spending, which will be felt locally and nationally throughout the economy.
And Hensley worries some students trying to juggle loan payments will fall victim to scams.
paying a fee will not improve your odds of any kind of debt cancellation or any kind of repayment options, relief options, nor will it speed that process up. So just be a wary consumer.
Hensley says studentaid.gov can simulate repayment plans to help students identify the best arrangement for their circumstances. This is Roz Brown.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
93.5
The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our fantastico engineer and producer. It is Thursday, October 5th, 2023, 6 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Welcome back into hour number two on the big program. Again, following the top breaking news story of the day here in Wisconsin and also a national story as well. According to reports, Associated Press and otherwise, Governor Tony Evers was the target of a would-be assassin yesterday at the state capitol. A man brandishing a loaded handgun came into the capitol, got as far as the security desk outside of his office. Capitol Police questioned him, and when it was apparent he was carrying a gun without a permit, of course, concealed carry is permitted here in Wisconsin, but not open carry. Gun was loaded. Man was arrested, said he wanted to talk to the governor about violence against men. Was taken into custody, and minutes, if not hours later, the judge and district attorney let him back on the street, posted bail so low that this guy could post it, and apparently told police that he had access to several weapons and was able to use them, and came back. The Capitol closes at 6 p.m. to the public, and this guy comes back around 9 o'clock last night carrying a loaded assault rifle, once again wanting to see the governor. The man was arrested again, and reports are at this hour being held in custody for his mental health reasons. So far, according to reports, no formal charges have been filed the second time, and his name has not been released. We will continue to follow this story as it develops. Again, as we reported last hour, Governor Evers was on a hit list of an individual last year who also shot and killed a judge in Wisconsin. This narrative of violence against elected officials, I don't care what party or what side of the fence they're on, it just has to end. And as importantly, it has to be called out. And in all seriousness, I hope that those people who listen to this show that do have access to former Governor Scott Walker and Republicans in the state will pass on. You could still be for the Second Amendment, but you can call out this type of action. This political violence or attempted political violence has to end.
In fact, I feel like that makes you seem more legitimate as a supporter of the Second Amendment. If you are saying you want responsible people to have guns, if you're just saying give guns to everybody, do whatever you want, no one's going to take you seriously. You become a clown.
Right. Agreed. Great point, Mr. Zommers. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will lighten things up a little bit at 2:30. We have Peter Rapine joining us. He will take your calls if you would like to call in. He is the managing editor of E-Bombs World. What is E-Bombs World, you ask? Well, if you're of a certain age, when I talked to Mr. Zombers about it, you knew what it was. You're a young guy, but you knew what it was.
Yeah, back in the early days of YouTube, that was my primary source, YouTube, of just, I don't know, interesting things, funny things, viral videos. But I also flipped around between similar sites like Newgrounds and E-Bombs World.
Well, very good. If you have an early memory of getting on the internet, having access, give us a call at 2:30 when Peter Rapine will be here and the managing editor of E-Bombs World.
I will say, I looked it up earlier today and went on the website and I was like, well, looks different now. But also, one thing that's still the same that warmed my heart a little bit, you know, when you have a tab open on your browser and it has a little icon, like you have the YouTube play button, you've got the Google Drive symbol or whatever, that is still the same. It's like a pixelated banana with a face.
Oh, really?
And I appreciate it.
A pixelated banana,
you say? I'll have to show you. I'll have to put it up on the screen, but I appreciate that it is still the same.
Right, absolutely. I want to call in, weigh in on the breaking news of the day or anything else. We always love to have your calls. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. New Marquette Law School poll coming out. And look, we've had Charles Franklin, Professor Charles Franklin, on this program several times, a renowned pollster. And looking at this, it's not great news if you are someone who wants to see Joe Biden reelected. It's a wake-up call for all these people out there. They're like, Trump's not going to be the nominee. It's going to be somebody else. Republicans are going to wake up and smell the coffee and the 91 indictments are going to, you know, have an effect. No, actually, they're not. Donald Trump is raising record amounts of money right now. Trump says he raised over $45.5 million in the third quarter. Let me say this again. Donald J. Trump says he's raised more than $45.5 million in the third quarter, according to Axios. In a new poll out by Marquette Law School poll, when asked, said, who do you trust to handle the economy? Trump 52%, Biden 28. On border security, Trump 52, Biden 28. Inflation, Trump 50, Biden 27. But yet, in a head-to-head, Biden still leads Trump 51 to 49% among likely voters. Come back and talk about it on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The key slides into the ignition. The engine rumbles to life. My hand grips the throttle. New gear for my ride. The road, my invitation. The sound, the smell, the exhilaration. I am one with the bike. And the car in front of me suddenly turns in my lane. Motorcycles are everywhere, but too often go unnoticed. Please, always look twice, be alert, and share the road with motorcycles at all times. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
On the Civic Media Radio Network, it is now 15 past the hour of 2 o'clock. Mr. Zommers on the board. He introduced me to this last fall as we were taking calls. I said, where did you get that song? He goes, you never heard of Rafi? I said, no, I did not.
I don't know if I said that, but...
I think you did.
Maybe I did.
You knew the artist. I said, I didn't know. So I'm filling in for Pat Quitelow today and tomorrow as well. You can get up early with me if you want. Sam and I. In the morning, 6 until 8 here, where Mr. Quitelow is on a well-deserved vacation. And so Chad Holmes and I from Bull Falls Radio have been splitting the Up North News fill-in host duties. Tomorrow is my third and last day hosting Up North News. Pat Quitelow returns on Monday morning at 6 o'clock here at Civic Media. So I'm filling in for Pat Quitelow this morning on Up North News, and he does this segment of, you know, Zommers used to do the program of music history, right?
Yeah, I used to help him out do that every morning, and it's a lot of fun. You find out a lot of stuff that you didn't know.
You did not know. So, what I found out today, that on this date, October 5, 1994, Egyptian-Canadian singer-songwriter Rafi releases Bananaphone, an album of children's music. Now, nothing very notable at the time seems apparent. However, the title song becomes a viral internet craze 10 years later in 2004. When a Flash animation, like the Flash comic strip, Flash animation featuring the song is posted on
Flash animation as in Adobe Flash.
Oh, yeah.
In early 2000s, that was a very popular, that was something you'd find on E-Bombs World or whatever.
See, this is exactly why you have a young person be your producer. So there you go. The Flash animation site featuring the song is posted on the website Newgrounds. Newgrounds, which I have no idea what it is. But after this, Rafi becomes internationally famous. And Bananaphone makes it onto the radio and later radio and TV shows, including the Opie and Anthony show. The Colbert Report also used Bananaphone and Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
I didn't know it was used all these other places. Yes. I'm not familiar with whatever video is talking about using that, honestly. Yeah. For me, it was just because all of my sisters and I at some point have been enrolled in dance lessons. And,
really?
Yeah.
Did I know this?
I don't remember if I've mentioned it before.
How long were you in dance?
From like kindergarten until about sixth grade. And I decided not to do it any longer, but
Mr. Zommers, you can dance.
Well, I could. Can no.
I think I've talked about this a little bit on the show. I myself am in a dance class right now with my lovely sister, who is a alum of the Betty Hayes School of Dance in Southwest Wisconsin. Betty Hayes just became, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, certified by Guinness Book of World Records as the longest female dance teacher in world history. At 77 years, I believe.
I'm going to have to talk to Jean Wolfmeyer though in Manitowoc and see how long she's been doing it. Yeah. If we need to call Guinness.
Challenge Betty Hayes. It is at your own detriment. How old is your dance teacher, dance teacher?
I don't remember.
Betty is in her early 90s and still teaching dance. And so she and her lovely daughter Cheryl are doing this this online dance class. And so it becomes more of an aerobic workout, you understand, which is fine because I could use, to lose a couple of pounds. So every Monday and or Tuesday night, we're doing this
this dance class thing. So anyway, there you go. So that's what's in music history coming up here in a few minutes. We'll talk to Peter Rapine, managing editor of E-Bombs World, and find out all these cool internet things. Before we do that, though, I want to talk a little bit about this Marquette Law School poll, a national poll that came out here yesterday. I'm actually today, pardon me. And again, it's the head-to-head still has Joe Biden winning in a head-to-head with Donald Trump. But on almost every issue aside from Social Security, people say that they think Trump could do a better job, which is astounding to me. And I want to use this as a wake-up call again for people. I'm not saying I'm no Karl Rove on the Republican side. I am no James Carville on the Democratic side. Lord knows I'm no Desi Arnaz, which I have no idea what that means. But anyway, look, here's the thing. I spent 30 years in politics. I know a little something about it. And especially Republican politics. I left the party in 2011. But there is almost no way, to use a double negative, that Donald Trump will not be the nominee. He's going to be the nominee because it's so divided right now. Nobody's getting out. They all insist on being in there. It's dividing the vote. And the way this is set up, Trump at this point is almost assured to be the nominee, folks. All right, just the way it is. And again, to the story in Axios today, Donald Trump, the former president, said yesterday that it raised more than $45.5 million during the third quarter, a blitz that his campaign attributed to, quote, overwhelming grassroots support, unquote. We'll take him at their word. By the numbers, according to Axios, the campaign said it has more than $37.5 million COH, that's what we call the political business, cash on hand, entering this month, with $36 million designated for use in the primary. Trump has aggressively fundraised off his mounting legal troubles, bringing in millions alone after the release of his mugshot in Fulton County. All this stuff, well, Trump doesn't want his mugshot out there. Heck no! He absolutely wanted that mugshot out there because he's used it to raise millions of dollars. Trump's third quarter fundraising blitz, an improvement from the previous period, gives him the financial edge as he maintains his strong lead over Republican rivals in primary polling. His campaign said it raised $35 million during the second quarter of this year. His biggest challenger, supposedly, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, the 2024 campaign raised $15 million during the third quarter. $15 million. And get this. When you're in a political race, congressional level, U.S. Senate level, or higher, there's only two things that people are really interested about in the political world. Your poll numbers and your cash on hand. Not how much you raised, how much you have in the bank right now. According to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' campaign, he has $5 million cash on hand right now. $5 million. Trump has $37.5 million cash on hand. Ron DeSantis is toast. He just moved most of his campaign staff to Iowa. Probably in very bad conditions. Probably put him up in a barn or something. Because they're putting all their chips on the table in Iowa. Because if he can't win in Iowa, it's over. Nikki Haley just passed Ron DeSantis in the polling in New Hampshire. So, I mean, if you don't think Donald Trump is going to be the nominee, you're smoking something. And number two, with the cash on hand that Trump has far outpacing anybody else, he could blow them away in advertising. He doesn't have to do the debates. And his base loves the fact every indictment that he gets, they love him more. I know. You're like, Todd, that's crazy. I know. Which is my point. That the mega folks, not the typical Republican, but the mega folks, it's like a cult. Check that. It is a cult. All right. How can you have a guy that 91 indictments, a guy going after our military, a guy who makes fun of the disabled? How can you vote for a person like that? Well, it's the truth. And the Marquette Law School poll is a pretty darn good poll. So between the money and the poll numbers, and again, what's really crazy about this is that on the issues, when you ask them on the issues in this Marquette Law School poll, most people say that Trump can handle the issues better, but yet they're going to vote for Biden, probably on character alone, which is a good reason, and to save democracy. But this is why we have to double down, tell the truth, expose what's really going on, and help people understand. Don't yell at people. Help people to understand what's at stake here in 2024. Go to the phone lines quickly, WRCE in Richland Center there. Robert from Richland Center says, speaking of the banana phone and Rafi, they say they have multiple. Wow, look at Robert Marine in Richland Center having multiple Rafi albums from the 80s and 90s when our children were young. Wow, they saw him live here in Madison twice back in those days. So Rafi was quite famous before, although perhaps, had a big resurgence after the events you mentioned. Well, look at that. I had no idea.
Mad respect. And I know Pat Kreitlow from Up North News was also familiar with Rafi, that
really?
His kids listened to him as well.
Well, look at that. Kreitlow getting it done. What else here on the text line cleaning things up here? Jeff from Shorewood from WAUK says, what does Trump spend on? Not ads. He gets free airtime on the news. Gotta be attorneys. Well, yeah. I mean, he's using a lot of his money for his personal legal affairs. And they're also very good, whether you like it or not, the Trump team, very good at digital. Has again, remember, he's not got a bunch of goofballs around him running this campaign. The guy who is running his campaign this time, is Chris LaCivita, is the same guy who ran Ron Johnson's campaign for U.S. Senate last time and won and beat Mandela Barnes. So Chris LaCivita, Trump's campaign manager, knows how to win in Wisconsin. Just keep that in mind. Also, Mark from the SAC on WMDX says, quote, check out the song Long Tall Glasses by Leo Sayer from 1974. Think you can dance? Oh, wow. Is this it? All right, here we go. To break, stay tuned. We have Peter Rapine coming up next on the show. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just poultry and game. But if it's all the same to you, then yes, I will try my hand. If you were as hungry as me, then I sure you will understand. Now wait a minute. Of course I can dance, of course I can dance. I'm sure I can dance, I'm sure I can dance. I can dance.
Watches this music video, a wireless mic would do this guy good. Trying to dance while you're standing still at the microphone, a little less effective. Anyway, see you back.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Special Report. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declared his country at war after the Iran-backed Palestinian militant group Hamas attacked Israel from the Gaza Strip. Thousands of rockets have been fired. Hundreds of Israelis have been killed. President Biden reiterated where the U.S. stands.
The United States stands with Israel. We will not ever fail to have their back. We'll make sure that they have the help their citizens need, and they can continue to defend themselves.
Sarah Davies is with the International Committee of the Red Cross delegation in Israel and the occupied territories.
We're calling for de-escalation for civilian infrastructure, things like buildings, very populated areas.
Israel retaliated with attacks on Gaza. There are reports of hundreds dead there as well. CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacy Lynn.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25. Cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Kripescast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York into Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York, and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to L.A. Like, if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Kripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
Oh, yeah, get down to the funky groove. Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show across the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Aaron, the producer, not Todd. Because we are getting something figured out with our guest here. But in the meantime, today, you might be wondering why we're hearing Parliament Funkadelic here. That is because today is National Funky Music Day. You gotta get some of those delicious synth bass lines to dig into. And talking about dancing in the last segment, funk is definitely, I would say, one of the best genres to groove out to.
Mr. Sommers, we appreciate that. Thank you very much. Peter was so kind because, Trigvi, also we had the breaking news of what happened with Speaker Kevin McCarthy in D.C. yesterday. And so we changed. Peter was so kind as to come on today rather than yesterday. And then between Chris Pauls and I, we forgot to send him the right link. So anyway, he emailed and I said, yeah, I forgot to send you today's link. So he'll be joining us. Peter Rapine will be joining us very shortly. But yes, Mr. Sommers, today is Funky Music Day. And I talked about this earlier on the morning show of Pat Kreitlow, that when I worked at WRCO, we had a great DJ, and it was Lila Marmel. And she once said, here is some funky music You know, she would talk about the Kickapoo astrological calendar as she drank her green tea with sticks and twigs. And she used to say, and now back to more funky music on WRCO. She was very much an earth girl, you know, and God love her, you know, to each their own. But yeah, I'm sure she is absolutely enthralled today with funky music day.
Yeah. And I don't know about you. I don't pay attention to any of these calendars. So I'm sure if she's the kind of person who does, she's probably really happy. If not, she's probably listening to some funky music anyway.
I'm sure she is listening to some funky music. It is now 2:35 here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can find out all about funky music, I'm sure, by tuning into EPOM's World. And here to tell us all about it, thankfully now that Todd has sent him the right link, sorry about that, is Peter Rapine, the managing editor of EPOM's World. Peter, thank you for covering my rear end and coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry about that. You were so gracious, Bill, with the breaking news yesterday of Kevin McCarthy. So gracious as to come on today instead of yesterday. So I apologize for the link confusion there.
Yeah, no worries. Glad we got it sorted.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little about you, Peter, where you grew up and kind of how you got into working in this genre.
Yeah, no, great question. So I grew up in California, actually. I'm a Bay Area guy.
Very good.
A little bit of east of Oakland. I got into EBOM's World, man, now you're taking me back. my old boss was actually a good friend of mine before I got hired. We had mutual friends in the same kind of group that we ran in. And one day he posted on Facebook, funny enough, about asking for an intern. And I quickly responded like, hey man, like I'm working at this kitchen, I hate it. I think I could do this, like give me a shot. And then lo and behold, it worked out. And I was an intern for about 6 months. And that was back in 2015, and worked hard and worked my way up to the top, you could say.
Well, so is this something you went to school for, or is it just something, I mean, you're a younger person, just something you always knew and were proficient at, or how'd you kind of get lured into this online internet world?
Yeah, well, so I went to school for communications, and I, growing up in California, I thought maybe I'd become a weed grower or something like right. that. All my friends were living up north growing and trimming weed.
Sure.
But out of college, I got a job as a freelance journalist for a small paper that no longer exists in San Francisco called the Western Edition Journal.
Okay.
And I wrote there for about 2 years, and that's kind of fell into it, honestly. I was never really a big online person growing up. Mm. Sure, I had, a Facebook, and I knew what YouTube was, and found Reddit when I was early on in my college days, but it's just something I kind of fell into and
sure.
ended up having all the right skills for.
Well, that's fantastic. So our friend Chris Pauls called EPOM's World, quote, the loading dock of the internet. It's a supreme chronicler, and I'm not sure if I agree with, of low cultural internet and likely among the first websites older listeners have ever visited. Now, I visited the site myself, and to me, this is exactly the kind of stuff I want to look for on the internet. I mean, forget about the hard news of the day. These are the types of stories, and I fault Chris Pauls. Why have we not been citing this site more often? Because this is exactly what I want to bring to our listeners.
I love that. It's funny. When I tell people what I do, they either know it or they don't. Mm-hmm. And the people that know it, their eyes light up. And typically the first thing they say, and anyone who's listening right now is probably thinking, that place is still around? Oh, man, shut up. No way.
That was absolutely my thought when Todd told me that we were going to have you as a guest on the show. I was like, man, this is taking me back to like Newgrounds and stuff. And I didn't know that was still going.
Yeah, so we are. EBOM was launched in 2001. So we're older than Facebook. We're older than Reddit. We're older than YouTube, who just had their, 20-year anniversary, 25-year anniversary. So we've been around a long, long time. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So a little brief history of the site, your involvement with it. So it launched in 2001, you said. I mean, who are the people that did this? And was it a news thing, or was it more just for fun and jokes or yucks? I mean, what was kind of the impetus for launching EPOM's World?
So, yeah, without hopefully getting myself sued, I don't know if I can speak ill of the old days. It was started by a guy named Eric Bauman, mm-hmm. who, hence the name E-Bombs. It was a play on his own name. And what it was is back in the day, the internet didn't have like a homepage. Right. Memes and viral videos would be in email chains. They'd kind of be sent from person to person. But E-Bombs World, what it was is he went around and he found the best videos of the day, you know, all the funny things people were sharing to each other. He downloaded them, he put his watermark on them, and then he uploaded them to E-Bombs World. And it kind of became like the first proto Reddit, proto YouTube, proto homepage for, you know, viral content. And there really wasn't many places doing it back at the time. Because you just said, you know, Newgrounds is one of the big ones.
Right.
You know, think about like the funny junk soundboard era of the internet. And so it really took off because no one was really in that space. I came to E-Bombs World in 2015 after I graduated college. So the internet obviously had changed a lot in those 20 years or, you know, 15, 18 years.
That's fantastic. And Peter is so kind as to be willing to take some of your calls if you want to call in, ask a question, or have a remembrance of your experience on EPOM's world in the early days of the internet. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY, P-A-R-T-Y. Or you can also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it on your Apple or Android device. Peter, managing editor of EPOM's World, give us a sense of some of the early massive kind of viral hits. What made this thing kind of pop in the world of the early internet?
Oh, gosh, yeah. So I think one that most people will probably know is End of the World, which was this Flash animation video about the end of the world. And I think it's there's one moment in the video where the French people are about to launch their nukes because everyone has already launched their nukes. And one of the French guys with a baguette in his hand and a cigarette in the other says, but I'm a little tired. Let's launch the nukes in a moment. That was one of the early classics. Things like Techno Viking, which was just a video of a really buff techno dude with a great beard walking down the street, I think in Paris, during a techno festival. And it's just a 2-minute long video of this dude, you know, rocking it, just kind of techno biking his way down the street. Things like Leroy Jenkins, pretty famous wow video of a guy going, you know, throwing caution to the wind and ruining a whole game for all himself and all of his friends, and some final level of the game, which actually that video turned out to be fake. A lot of people thought it was legit at the time, but years later, you know, the sleuths did their job and found out actually it was all set up. Things like Badger, I mean, gosh, pork chop sandwiches, old Greg. The internet back then, like I said, the site had soundboards. So you could, you know, prank phone call your local bowling alley with Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice. So it had a lot of different functions than we currently have.
See, but those were the fun days, right? You know, when we're just kind of the Wild West online. There weren't a lot of rules. There weren't paywalls. There weren't, I mean, it was just kind of almost anything goes.
Exactly. It had a very, you know, pirate ship kind of mentality to it and vibe, as much as the internet did back then.
And I think a lot of people in my age category, in like early, like late millennial, early Gen Z, owe a lot of their sense of humor to stuff like this. Like,
really?
I quote, you mentioned old Greg. I quote that probably daily, for better or for worse, still, and stuff like that.
Yeah, Charlie bit my finger. You know,
I hate that one in particular, but that's just my personal. It was very big.
So give us E-Bombs World made news itself a little bit along the line. Any particular examples of that?
Yeah. I mean, well, there was the big sale. I think there's a point in time around 2012, 2013, when the internet really started changing a lot. And you see it in the internet today where creators, you know, the people who make this content have a say over where their content goes, you know, this entire creator economy. So there was a, you know, E-Bombs World made an early stink being accused of you know, lifting content, which is fair, which, you know, now I think the internet's changed so much. But as far as moments that we've tried to manufacture and moments that we've tried to, you know, put ourselves into, as far as my time goes, there was a moment in, I think, 2016 when Chris Brown, his house was being raided by the police for something. And they had a full, you know, 5-hour-long live stream where the, you know, news anchors were talking. And we had noticed that there was a deflated bounce house in his front yard. and no one was broaching the topic. No one seemed to care why Chris Brown would have a deflated bounce house. And so we spent all day in the live stream harassing the news anchor, saying, "Hey guys, are you going to acknowledge the bounce house? Are you going to acknowledge the bounce house?" And eventually we got them to acknowledge the bounce house. We got them to give us a shout out. But that was kind of what I was brought into. It's like, oh, this is going to be a renegade place where we can just go and, you know, poke fun at the mainstream media, right, you know, in fun and in light ways.
I love it. No,
I think, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say another one that I don't know if we necessarily, I can't take the claim that, you know, maybe we inspired this meme, but you guys have heard of the birds aren't real. Mm. Kind of, it's a meme where, you know, these young Gen Z people have taken it on themselves to, and this guy has, you know, gotten Fox News people. He's been brought on TV to talk about it. But we wrote about how birds weren't real, I think back in 2020, early on during the pandemic, just as, you know, a viral kind of or a satire post. And it's funny to see that, you know, years later, it actually kind of took on and people really started championing it. And I think it kind of speaks to that. The E-bombs were all back in the day, the sense of humor really is prevalent in, I think, Gen Z's sense of humor. It's this kind of absurdist humor. You know, the world is chaos, and so we might as well just, you know, find a way to laugh at it.
We're talking with Peter Rapine. He is the managing editor of EPOM's World. Appreciate his time here, joining us live from beautiful California. Is it beautiful out there right now, Peter?
Well, actually, no. I'm in Brooklyn now.
California. Oh, you're in Brooklyn. Oh,
there you go. Yeah,
Brooklyn. I was just Brooklyn, in Brooklyn like a month ago.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice today. It's not raining, so.
Well, yeah, you guys got a lot of rain out there. All those flooding and everything for a couple of days. Good gosh.
Yeah, talk about content.
Right. So, got about 2 minutes before the first break here, but give us a sense. So, for those that might not be quite following this and never heard of it, is it all satire like The Onion? It's not, because you include real actual news with satire, correct?
Yeah. So we actually don't do a ton of satire. The birds aren't real one was kind of more of a one off. But our goal is to find kind of a, because, you know, it's so large, we can't cover the whole thing every day. So we try to find news that you look at and go, there's no way this is real. There's no way a man was pulled over with a full size bull in his car. Like, how is this happening? Or Lauren Boebert did what in a movie theater? Like, you gotta be kidding me. Come on, or in a theater. So we try to find stuff that obviously is very real, but has this kind of humor just embedded in it.
Have you seen, like, in about a minute left before the break, but have you seen, it seems like the last few years, you know, truth is stranger than fiction. Just things have gotten wackier, people doing wackier stuff. Is it my perception, or is that real? Have you gotten more content in the last few years?
Yeah. Honestly, any given day, we have more stuff to choose from than we can cover. And I'm not sure if the world's gotten crazier. I think maybe the crazier people have louder voices than they've ever had.
Yeah, great point.
I definitely think, obviously, you know, maybe climate change really is cooking our brains.
Right. Very true. Stay tuned. We'll come back one more segment with Peter Rapine. He is the managing editor of EPOM's World. Also, your phone calls. If you'd like to join us, stay tuned on the other side. This is the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on a Thursday, October 5th. It is 10 minutes before the hour, 3 o'clock at the top of the hour. National news followed by a check of weather. And then our friend and colleague Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct takes on to the airwaves. I'm sure he will have an update and his take as a lawyer on what's happening. Breaking news of the day, in case you have not heard, is being released today that an armed man came to the state capitol yesterday with a handgun threatening to... The governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, was arrested and then hours later released on bail and came back to the Capitol with a loaded assault rifle. He is once again in custody, being held in hospital. No charges yet. We will continue to follow this breaking news story. Matt Flynn will have it on the other side of the hour. Peter Rapine is our guest right now. He is the managing editor of EPOM's World. Great guest, great subject here. Peter, give us up to date. What's happening now at EPOM's World? What can we find there if we go there? Again, there are so many stories. I'm serious. I want to start doing at least a weekly segment. If you can't be here every week, we'll use some of your stuff. That's okay. I give you credit, of course.
Please do. I think for us, it's this morning, you know, there's a story of this monkey that was on the loose in Indianapolis, a baboon named Momo.
If I could just read the headline first, because the headline's fantastic. Quote, "That monkey is gonna come kill us," unquote, with an exclamation point. A baboon named Momo was briefly on the loose in Indianapolis. Give us the story.
Yeah, so a monkey escaped some guy's house, was running around the neighborhood for a couple hours. Video of said baboon went viral. People were kind of freaking out. It didn't take too long before they found the monkey again and returned him back to his owner. Even with a photo, the police officer and the owner together with the monkey. People of Indianapolis, you are safe for the rest of the day until tomorrow when a lemur is released.
Well, and my oldest godson, Alex, lives and works in Indianapolis. He was supposed to call me this weekend. I have not heard from him. And so perhaps, God help him, I hope that Momo didn't go after him.
Yeah, praying for Alex's safety.
Absolutely we are. Gumbo Slice is the first artificial intelligent AI-generated celebrity, and his lure is growing. What is this about?
Yeah, gosh, I'm glad you brought this one up. So this is the internet at its finest. You probably have seen all the AI created images.
Scares the crap out of me.
ChatGPT has one. And obviously the fear is, you know, that people are going to use these tools to create, you know, Joe Biden and Barack Obama and, you know, world leaders. And of course they do. But the better uses of these tools is to create stories of men sharing pizzas with alligators and then kicking them in the face. So what happened was someone created three images of a guy and an alligator having a pizza together. The second image is them kind of scuffling, and the third image is them just fighting each other. And the internet saw this and ran with it. So people started creating their own AI versions. Basically what they were doing is they were making like cave paintings telling this story that is now allegedly eons, you know, old. And so it's just kind of the perfect example of like the internet finding something dumb and funny and running with it and making it as absurd and ridiculous as possible. It's been a big week for AI.
It has. And like you say, AI scares the crap out of me, and also the robot dogs. I'm convinced I will die at the paws of a robot dog.
Yeah. Well, recently, Mayor Eric Adams in New York, they put this big robot machine in Times Square and it's supposed to observe and kind of report on people. And we have rules at EBOM's World about, you know, videos when I'm getting pitches and stuff.
Sure.
Right? If it's an alligator video, there better be some drama in it. But my rule for the robot is that we're not going to publish anything about it until it's either run over by a train or it's tasing somebody like R2-D2. Because you know that future is coming. Right. Where someone hops a turnstile, robot tases them, and then the stormtroopers come out and arrest them and take them away.
This is great. Any particular story right now that you're hot on that you're particularly proud of or you want to call attention to?
Oh my gosh, too many. A fun one actually out of England this morning. So a group of oil protesters called Just Stop Oil, they glued themselves to the stage during a Les Mis performance, and everyone in the audience started booing and yelling at them. And so our headline today is theater goers pissed when revolutionaries interrupt play about revolutionaries.
Did they, was it like super glue their skin or was it clothing or what the heck?
Yeah. Typically they glue their hands to stuff. It's this Just Stop Oil. They're around. They're in museums. They're all over the place. But I think this is a pretty perfect kind of E-Bombs World story. Oh, where it's,
speaking of Lauren Bobart earlier, I think she had a little sticky something on her hands at the theater as well. But that's a whole other story, as it turns out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, again, truth is stranger than fiction. Here she is giving her boyfriend a handy, and he's feeling up her tits in a movie theater and for kids, for goodness sake. And she tries to deny it, and it's on video.
Well, our headline for that was, man who received OTPHJ, which stands for over the pants hand job, will not be getting a second date from Lauren Bobart. Because allegedly he's only getting the one, and I hope he had good enough time.
Well, apparently because he was a Democrat. And the ironic thing, of course, is after she's a big, you know, anti-LGBTQ person, and you know, it turns out the guy owns a gay bar and has drag night.
So, I know. Maybe she should have done her research before going out on a date with that guy.
Well, this is just tremendous. Again, people can find it at E-Bomb. It's spelled E, like the letter E, the B-A-U-M-S world.com. E-Bombs World. .com. What's ahead? Got about a minute and a half here. Anything on the horizon you want to bring people to? Hot stories that you're covering for tomorrow or anything?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Let me see. So there was a video of a school police officer. You know, there's school resource officers.
Sure.
A video of one of them play fighting with a student in a bathroom. And it ends with the police officer breaking his leg.
Good Lord. Which
all the questions were, what the hell is going on? There's got to be a better way to connect with the youth than play fighting in the bathroom, you say. And then we have another post coming out later tonight. Watch two swinging toilets engage in a demolition derby. Basically, there's a big cottage industry of content where people kind of destroy things. And this guy on TikTok is ties two toilets together to the strings and kind of uses them as pendulums, and you watch, waiting for them to just crash and crumble, and they do. But you can't get that joy anywhere else.
Absolutely not.
Watching stuff like that.
Now, see, that is fascinating. See, that is exactly the kind of content I find fascinating. After a long day of more serious, who wants to talk more about Trump and the destruction of democracy? I'm talking about toilets smashing into each other. That's exactly what I want to see.
I love it.
Peter Rapine, you are absolutely fantastic. Managing editor of EPOM's World. Thank you so much for taking time to join us. Come on back soon. We would love to have you anytime.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Yep, my pleasure. That is Peter Rapine, the managing editor of EPOM's World. Check him out. Great website. Also, thanks to Mr. Zommers and the board. Thank you to all of you for listening in and calling in today. Stay tuned now. Our friend Matt Flynn is next. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, keep banging your drum.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just $2.25. The pins still set by people, swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW.